back to an aspect of yesterday's budget, that concerning Eskom. No new allocations were made to state-owned enterprises that are struggling. There were numbers given for SAA, the Land Bank and Eskom, but that was not new money. Eskom got 56 billion rand in the last tax year and, as previously budgeted, will get 32 billion rand in the next tax year, meant to stabilize Eskom while government restructures it into three separate entities. This is a promise which has been around for quite a while now, generation, transmission and distribution. Treasury says that by December, the transmission division will be legally separated. That's a quote from the budget speech, and that the separation of the generation and distribution divisions will be completed by December 2022. Professor Anton Eberhardt is an energy expert, emeritus professor and director of the Power Future Lab at UCT's Graduate School of Business. Anton, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John.
How significant, if at all, is the announcement made yesterday? I mean, what does legally separated mean? Does it mean anything important in terms of us having a more regular supply of power?
It's a very important step going forward. In fact, I think it'll probably be the most profound change to our electricity supply industry in 100 years. What it does is take out the transmission system along with the system operator and the market operator being that function that procures and contracts new power. So it removes the conflict of interest that's there at the moment of Eskom being both a generator but also controlling the grid. And so it could frustrate the entry of private sector investment, as it did when Molefe and Cocoa were there, when they refused to sign contracts with IPPs. So this creates a sort of fair and transparent platform for procuring least cost power going forward.
Can I just really try and understand this properly in words of one syllable, Anton? On the 1st of January, what is going to be possible that is not possible now with this legally separated transmission division engineered out of Eskom?
So we must think of it as two steps. This will be the first step. So they're creating a subsidiary company of Eskom Holdings. So the transmission and the system operator and the market operator will be in the subsidiary company. It will have its own board, an independent board, and a great degree of independence in the way it works.
Will it? Will it in practice? I know that's the theory.
This is the key issue. Yeah. Why I say it's a first step. The next step is once the licenses have been transferred to that subsidiary company, once there's new legislation, because we need new legislation before you set up a separate state-owned enterprise, the second step will be going out as a completely separate government-owned company, and then you'll have that true independence.
So at what point will I be getting power into my home, which has been procured and generated and transmitted independent of Eskom?
When that second step happens, effectively.
And when might that be?
Well, this is an absolute key issue. So Eskom has been very clear around deadlines for the first step, but they are being somewhat coy around the deadline for the second step. And this is really where we need government leadership, which is lacking at the moment. We're not having the shareholder ministry of Eskom laying out a really clear timetable for that second step. And that second step, John, is also critical around insulating the heart of the system from the financial woes of Eskom. I mean, the key debt issues in Eskom reside mostly around its generation. Once you've got the transmission out, that's a well-run business. It could be funded relatively easily by institutions, pension funds, etc. It will quite soon go back to investment grade. It will be able to raise finance to expand the grid, to connect renewable energy IPPs. So it's a really important next step.
As long as it is truly functionally independent. Without that, Anton, it seems to me its promises on paper and organograms on PowerPoint presentations, but not much more.
I fully agree that second step is really important. The first step will be a move in that direction. So it will be functionally separate. It will have its own accounts, own staff. Debt will and assets will be allocated there. So we'll have a much greater transparency of what that business looks like. But to ultimately achieve what we want to achieve, that second step is very important.
And there will be enough people wanting to transmit their independently generated power along that independent transmission grid to make up for what is going to be lacking performance from Eskom for several years yet.
Yeah, this is huge. I mean, there are a huge pipeline of projects that are keen to get going, that are, on the one hand, frustrated by not being able to get licenses, so they need that regulatory reform as well, but are deeply concerned around Eskom as a whole being the off-taker and not being creditworthy with its huge debt levels and propped up at the moment by these bailouts that you mentioned from the fiscus. When that grid is separate, that they will be insulated from those woes. Their contracts will be backed by the sales of electricity from the ITSMO, as we call it, the Independent Transmission System Market Operator, to customers, which would be a much more attractive position to bring investment in to the system.
Okay, so how much optimism do I allow myself around this step announced by Minister Mboweni yesterday? A tiny bit. Half a teaspoonful.
Look, for me, it's a really important step in the right direction. You know, it's where the rest of the world has gone. 106 countries around the world have separated out their transmission system, by the way, including countries like Russia and China. And it just starts freeing up the system to get investment in. It creates that fair and transparent platform for procuring power from the private sector. And that power is going to be least cost power. It will be competitive power. So ultimately, we as customers will benefit. And by the way, some of those IPPs will want to sell that then directly to customers as well, directly to municipalities, directly to large companies as well. So we'll start seeing
the data centers that are becoming very much part of South Africa's landscape that need reliable power and a lot of it and those kinds of things. Anton, thank you very, very much indeed. Professor Anton Eberhardt, Emeritus Professor and Director of the Power Future Lab at UCT's Graduate School of Business.